This show is a legal advertisement, and it is intended to provide general information only. It is not intended to provide specific legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. You should not rely on general legal information instead of specific legal advice regarding your specific circumstances. Follow-up contact does not create an attorney-client relationship and does not constitute legal advice.
Time now for the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, heard weekly on stations all over Colorado. Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are Colorado injury attorneys, but for the next hour, they'll answer questions and provide advice on any legal matter, including wills, real estate, bankruptcy, contracts, and more. Call in now, 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. And now, here are your hosts, live in the studio, Gary Bell and Brad Pollock.
Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Dana Miller in studio today. Gary's still out of town. I expect him back next Saturday, so hopefully he'll be ready to go. Maybe we'll take a break then and leave him here alone.
Yeah. I'm sure Gary could talk for an hour with commercial interruption with on anything.
Take away the commercial interruption. Shannon's in the studio today, and I know Shannon knows exactly how to make sure Gary doesn't get any studio interruption. We'll keep him working all the way through. Actually, if it wasn't for Shannon, I wouldn't be here today. He saved me on losing some of my stuff, but thankfully he found substitutes. Something about having to go down to the basement of the building to get stuff. So it worries me I'm getting the basement equipment, but what the heck.
Hey, it works right now. You can hear out of both ears, right?
That's right. You can hear out of both ears. We are the Bell and Pollock Law Firm. We've been doing this show for the last 25, 30 years, something like that. Every Saturday morning, we come to you at 7 o'clock in the morning to talk to you about your personal injury matters or your cases that you might have that are not personal injury related. We are a personal injury law firm. We compete with all those law firms you see on TV that advertise for your business. If you've been hurt in a crash, you've been hurt by a truck, if you've been hurt this way, that way, this way, any which way you've been hurt, we're available to help you recover for your injuries. If it's as a result of the negligence of another, if it's a result of any kind of problems other people have, caused you, or they haven't done what they should have done. They didn't take care of their property. They didn't properly clear it. They didn't do what they were supposed to do as far as maintaining a safe environment. We're here to help you. You can call us at 303-795-5900, and you can contact us at championsofthepeople.com. We've been the champions of the people for the last 25, 30 years also. So, you know, don't a lot of other lawyers or groups try to use the champion moniker. We've been the champions of the people for that long, so please contact us. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another or as a result of the omissions of another, we can help you get on your way to recovery, which is a lot of times what I consider to be the most important part. Try to make sure you're hooked up with doctors that have an understanding of the type of injuries you might have, that have an understanding of impact injuries. They're different at times than just regular illness, so you have to be able to address it. Then we can help you recover on your case. Please contact us, if you would, to the best of your ability before you talk to the adjuster dealing with your personal injury case. There's two adjusters, right, Dana?
Yes. You've always, in an auto case, you've got a situation where you've got an adjuster calling you to get information about the how the accident happened, maybe to deal with the property damage side of things. But if you've been hurt, you're going to hear also from, you know, the liability and the bodily injury adjuster from the other side, from the other person's insurance. You may also even hear from your own insurance if it's contested, if it's a contested claim, if there are different stories being told, if there are accounts that are different as to who might be at fault. The both insurance companies have a vested interest in trying to decide who is responsible and ultimately then who is responsible, which insurance company has the burden of paying for the damages, paying for the injuries and the medical treatment.
Right. And, you know, actually I was wrong. There's probably four adjusters. You've got the property damage adjuster on the at-fault party. You've got the personal injury adjuster on the at-fault party. And then you've got the property adjuster for your own claim, and you've got the personal injury adjuster for your own claim, especially if you have MedPay.
Maybe even five. MedPay is a separate, for the most part, what my experience has been is that MedPay is now being treated by most insurance companies as its own separate little thing.
So contact us. A lot of this starts with making sure your insurance is in place and you've got good insurance. I never criticize people for having the minimum amount because I never get into people's budgets, and what they can afford is what they can afford, and what they can protect themselves with, they can protect themselves with. I do criticize it just insurance agents quite often who try to get you to waive your MedPay and try and get you to waive your uninsured motorist coverage and your underinsured motorist coverage. That's a bad idea.
Absolutely. Those are protections that you can have for yourself. I was having a conversation with somebody just earlier this week about, you know, how insurance is. I've always felt that insurance is legalized gambling. This was before gambling was legalized pretty broadly across the United States. But it's, you know, the insurance company is betting that you're not going to need your insurance, and they're going to continue to collect their premiums year in and year out, every 6 months or every year, and they're betting that you're never going to need what you're paying into, and so they're going to continue to make money hand over fist on you. But what I tell folks now is, especially now that I've been in this industry for as long as I have, is that why would you reject something that is as close to the equivalent of a free lunch that the insurance company offers? And MedPay is that free lunch. MedPay at a minimum is a $5,000 benefit that you can add to your policy. That's the lowest amount you can add. It goes up from there, 5, 10, 20, 25, as far as I understand. I don't think I've seen any MedPay higher than $50,000. Have you, Brad?
No. You know, Gary talked about USAA having like a $100,000 MedPay, but I'd never seen it in any of the policies, so I don't think anybody buys
good
it.
Good luck getting it from USAA. That's fight you tooth and nail.
That's right.
But anyway,
they do.
Neither here nor there. When it comes to the emergency care that you need after a collision, if an ambulance shows up, if you go to an emergency room and get x-rays or MRIs or CT scans, or you see an emergency physician and they give you fluids, any of those things will cost thousands of dollars, and MedPay at that $5,000 benefit at least gives you that leverage to not have to worry about those bills right out of the gate.
Sure. And if you can direct it towards paying for your deductibles or your copays, then sometimes it helps save a few bucks. It's all about trying to save money, but it's also all about having the protection so you can save the money.
Yeah. MedPay is your first line of defense against somebody else causing you injuries when you're going to have to argue for, you're going to have to persuade the other insurance company that they owe you money for your injuries. MedPay is your first line of defense. So don't spit it free money.
So waive it. Once again, it's a matter of budgets. I understand people need to eat. I understand you need to pay the rent or the mortgage, and I understand you need to pay the bills for the kids. And so there's a lot that goes on out there, and budgets are hard. It's something we take into an account when we're covering for you, to make sure we get the best and the highest recovery. Understand, please, when you call a personal injury lawyer because you've been hurt, The initial call is free. All the calls are free except for you go, well, how can lawyers just hand out free services? You know, a lawyer's time and advice is a stock and trade. Abraham Lincoln said that, you know, so, you know, that's what we sell. So it's free, except we want to be signed up to do your case. We want to do your personal injury case. And that's what the lawyers are trying to get you to call for, is to do that. But take advantage of the free advice you get to begin with.
Absolutely. And I would say that's true in a work comp venue as well, Brad. You know, we've got really, I mean, you and Gary have experience and have done workers' comp in years past, but you've kind of moved on from that. And so myself and Brewer England, who's been on this show before too, you know, we pretty much are the ones handling the work comp cases now for the firm. And, you know, those are a little different. Those can be a little tricky because you're dealing with codified administrative law. And when I say codified administrative law, I mean it very much relies on the state of Colorado's Colorado revised statutes. And those statutes govern how that aspect of law is practiced, how injured workers get recovery, the obligations of insurers, the obligations of employers in that venue. And it's all under the Department of Labor and Employment.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come right back. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Dana Miller in studio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Dana Miller in studio. 303-713-8255. If you have any questions, that's 303-713-8255. We were talking about what happens in a personal injury matter or how you want to get yourself prepared for it. Work comp's a whole different animal.
It is a whole different animal. And, you know, so one of the things we were talking about was that the initial consultation for personal injury cases is free. And that's true also for workers' compensation. However, the reason you want to talk to an attorney early on in a workers' comp case is most likely you're an injured worker who's not been injured on the job before. And so it's a whole world of things that people don't know. I have these conversations with folks almost on a daily basis, I would say, where, you know, no one, even though they've sent out paperwork, or maybe you've told your employer and they've given you some pieces of paper that have certain information on it, the injured worker is a little left in the dark as to what their obligations are, what their role is in this process, and how to understand how to navigate the system. Fortunately for us, State of Colorado has a fantastic website for the Division of Labor and Employment, Department of Workers' Compensation, and I always recommend that people look at it. So you're listening to us on the radio, but you're adept at using Google, Google Colorado Division of Workers' Compensation. There's a whole section devoted just to injured workers, and that is a free resource. It's amazing, but it doesn't substitute for legal advice. And even the website says that it is not standing in the shoes of a lawyer giving you advice. And if you call the division, they're going to tell you the same thing. So it's best if you're hurt on the job, give an attorney a call. They may or may not want to take your case, and it's not a personal thing. It's not, it's more often than not a business decision. And so that's where I think it's important for our listeners to know that while you should talk to an attorney and it'll be free to talk to that attorney, there are constraints about taking a case or not, because there are two different ultimate types of injury that the lawyer is looking out for, because we're paid on a contingency fee basis. And that's the same for personal injury. But with workers' comp, our contingency fee basis is governed by that statute. And it's right now it's a certain percentage that is less than what we're able to do in personal injury. And so depending on the nature of a person's injuries, the recovery may or may not be financially feasible, or it may not be financially worth the time, the cost and investment of our time and our resources to take the case. And it's not that the injured worker doesn't have a good case. It's just that a hand injury, or the, you know, the loss of a finger, or carpal tunnel syndrome, or a knee replacement, it just doesn't tend to be a significant value according to the division's calculations of how to compensate that injured worker for that injury.
Sure, they call them scheduled injuries, and if it's a scheduled injury, you're going to have a very strict limitation. Which brings me to another point when we talk about what's your case worth. You know, you see lawyers talking about, well, what's your case worth? Let me tell you something. Normally during that first phone call, it's very good to be able to talk, and this is work comp or personal injury. It's very good to be able to talk about what might be out there. But the bottom line is what your case is worth depends on so many factors that really any attorney trying to give you what your case is worth on the initial call when you haven't had a chance to complete your care, when you haven't had a chance to determine what degree of permanence you have any injuries, when you haven't had a chance to see how it has affected you in the future with respect to your injuries, when you haven't had a chance to find out how much coverage there is in a personal injury case by the other side and by yourself, when you haven't had a chance to learn the facts that are necessary to know what your case is worth, you don't know what your case is worth, and that's not going to happen normally in the first couple calls.
No.
What you need is a lawyer who isn't going to try and rush around trying to tell you what your case is worth, but is a lawyer who's going to try to talk to you about and discuss with you about what it is you need to do to protect your rights and to make sure you have the optimal recovery.
Absolutely. And in workers' comp, too, again, another difference, although it's kind of similar to personal injury. You know, if you get involved in a car accident, for the most part, we personal injury lawyers look at what the policy limits are of the other party of the underinsured or uninsured motorist coverage policy to see what is the maximum without going after a person's personal assets could be. Similarly, work comp has caps. They have upper limit threshold caps depending on the nature of the permanent impairment. And that you only get to that permanent impairment stage long after treatment has occurred and injured worker has reached maximum medical improvement or MMI.
So when we're talking about personal injury cases, you know, normally we're talking about a car crash. We can be talking about slip and fall. We can be talking about injuries that have occurred to you as a result of activities you've taken, and you're at a company or you're at an event, and there's supposed to be protection for you for that event and for that company's party or for whatever is going on, or when you go to some type of a commercial establishment that's doing some kind of activity and is giving you protection. Understand that a lot of times when you go to commercial activities where you're going to an event, some kind of recreational event, a lot of times there's going to be releases. They're going to be on the back of the ticket you sign, or they're going to be part of the very form you sign. You're going to be waiving away a lot of rights you have with respect to the event. And when you do that, you have to understand that sometimes those hold up, sometimes they don't. Do not think just because you signed a release that you may not have the right to recover in a particular case. You need, once again, contact the attorney and talk to them about whether or not there's a potential for recovery.
Yeah, Brewer's our expert on this now in the ski industry area because that law is changing very quickly. I know we're getting on the outside of ski season now, but but he's been following that the case law that's been coming out of the Colorado Supreme Court pretty closely, and some of the defenses that these companies have relied on for a long, long time are maybe not quite as rock solid as they thought they were.
And he might be evolving into now. He'll start talking about whether or not there's any kind of laws or what it is when you sign that release to go rafting, mm-hmm. or when you sign that release to be involved in the different arcade games or the different rides that are available for different entities and Ferris wheels and that kind of stuff, which get on.
Yeah, we're coming up on the season with rodeos and state fairs and all sorts of stuff around here. Lots of different activities that could potentially cause a person harm if they're not careful or if other people are not careful.
So you want to be careful about it. And that's what we're all about. Personal injury cases, It is car crashes that are primarily truck cases, car crashes. Truck cases are different than a regular car crash. There's a lot more that has to be involved. We've been doing this for 30 years, folks. Believe me, we understand the difference. We know the difference, and we can help you based on what your injury is, or if you have a loved one who's been injured, you got to let us know. We're going to talk here in a little bit about what needs to be done when you're at in a crash. And this is easy to say as we're sitting in a studio. And I understand that. So when we talk to you, we're going to be saying this is easy to say as we're sitting in a studio. But normally when you're in a car and you're driving somewhere, you're going somewhere. You mean to get there. You mean to get there on time. You need to get there to do an activity or be involved in something. And it's or to pick up kids or to do something important. And it's very hard, especially if you think it's a minor injury or a minor accident, to stop and do some of these things. But let me tell you something, a minor accident, something that you think is a minor accident, you think is doesn't mean much, can result in injuries. I just had one. The guy didn't think he was hurt. He didn't think it was a big injury. He didn't think it was a problem. A week and a half later, he's still in pain and he's feeling a numbness and tingling down his arm. He's having problems. And believe me, you don't get numbing and tingling down your arm because you're not hurt. You're hurt. You thought it was a small crash. Now, he happened to have his wife and child in the car with him, so now we're dealing with that also. So a lot of these things we're going to talk about to do at the scene of the crash, you need to do if you can at all do it. But first, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Dana Miller in studio. I think Dana likes his music.
it's just getting me pumped up for this morning, Brad.
That's a good thing. And talking about getting pumped up, how about going to Caitlin's Restaurant, folks? Head on out there. You're going to love it. Every bite of the way is 4379 East Mississippi Avenue in Denver. That's right around Mississippi and Colorado Boulevard. Actually, you're going to have to go maybe about a block east on Mississippi. And off to the left-hand side, you're going to see a shopping center, the Glendale Shopping Center. And Caitlin's is right there. You know, you can't miss it. Go there. Have a great breakfast. Enjoy it. The weather's beautiful. And that deck's out there. It's just calling your name for you to go on out there and enjoy that deck and get out there and have some sun and some nice fresh air while you're having a great breakfast. I personally love the a bowl called the Southern, but I don't like eggs, so I don't have eggs put in it, and I love the pancakes. So go out there and give it a try. See what you like, see what you don't like. Every menu should always have something you like, something you love, something you don't like, and something you hate, because there are so many different tastes out there. So hopefully Caitlin's does that. So you're going to be able to check it out. And Eric usually does this spot, and he'd be talking to you about it. He gets up at 5 in the morning and gets out there to get everything ready to go. But lately he's been a little under the weather, so we're subbing in for him till he gets himself back out there. Once again, 4379 East Mississippi Avenue, Denver, Colorado, 80246. You can also take advantage of the fact that they have to-goes. You can call in. You can get an order, 303-798-6600. That's 798-6600. And you get it to-go. You can have it delivered. They'll bring it out to your car if you just want to drive up and tell them you're there. They'll accommodate you any which way they can. So we're talking about personal injury cases. We're talking about what happens in a crash. And Dana, there's certain things you want to do when you get into a crash.
So, okay, we're driving down the road. All of a sudden, you get rear-ended from behind. You were at a stoplight. You weren't doing anything. You didn't even notice it. And the issue that arises initially is it's two-part in my mind. It's mental and it's physical. Your mind starts racing, right? What happened? What's going on? Am I hurt? Are my kids hurt if you've got kids in the car? Is my dog hurt? If you have a dog in the car, you know, and, which I usually do. And so your mind starts racing and going down that path. And then your body responds to that mental stimuli and starts producing lots of chemicals that start to give you this fight, flight, freeze response. And it floods the body with cortisol and adrenaline and things like that to help you survive this incident. So when that happens, it's really, really difficult for most people. And I'm included in this too. I've unfortunately been in a couple of crashes myself, you know, my fault, not my fault. And it's tough to remember all the things that are important in that particular moment. So the one thing I want you to take away from this is documentation. Documentation. We are so fortunate in this day and age. Now we've got mini computers, you know, in our pockets, in our consoles, on our, you know, in a little holster on the dash somewhere. We can take pictures. We can record things. We can make notes. We can do all of these things with these devices that are within hand's reach. And so the important thing to do after a collision is to grab that phone and potentially, if you're hurt, you want to call 911, right? You want to call 911. You want to, if the vehicle is very disabled, if there's smoke coming from it, if you smell gas or fluids that could ignite, you want to call 911. That is your first thing that you want to do almost no matter what.
Now, you know, Dana made a good statement because I, anybody who's driving and listening to this show right now, I'd be willing to bet you 95% of you have your phone within reach, period. You have your phone within reach. Now, whether it's charged, maybe there's 5% may have it very low on charge, but you have a way to charge it in the car.
Most people do.
Right. And so you're charging it as you're driving, but it's in reach. When you get into a crash, you need to grab that phone and you need to start taking some photos.
Yeah.
Especially if it's been caused by someone else, you know, and what do we need? Well, first of all, you're going to be trying to determine fault. How do you figure out fault? Sometimes you have to figure out where the debris is from the crash. When a crash happens, debris comes off the car and that debris is located in places on the street. You need to take photos of that. You need to take photos of the crash itself. You know, and it's great if you want to write it down, but when you go to do the exchange of information and you do the driver's license exchange and the exchange of insurance information, it doesn't hurt to take a photo of the information you've got.
Sure. If they're handing it over you to write it down, take a quick photo of the ID. Take a quick photo of the registration. Take a quick photo of the proof of insurance. That will not only help you, but if you do end up needing to hire a lawyer, it will absolutely help the lawyer get a jump start on things.
Now, all this happens after you've called 911 if somebody's been hurt. And I don't care if it's you that's been hurt. I don't care if it's a loved one in your car or a friend in your car or someone you like in your car. I don't care if it's a stranger in your car. You're giving somebody a ride. I don't care if it's the other side. I don't care if it's the person who ran into you. If someone's hurt, call right away. And now, as far as the crash itself and as far as documenting the accident, I can only think of so minor times, so few times that you shouldn't be calling the police.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't tell you how hard it is when you get somebody who walks into your office and says, I was in a crash. They changed lanes on me and they ran into my car and caused me to go off to the side. And they stopped and they said they were in a hurry, so we didn't call the police.
And if anything, that should be a reason to call the police. I have two reasons to call the police. Three, sorry. When and if an accident happens, if there are injuries, and if it's contentious. It's not, especially if the other party's in a hurry. Oh, well, too bad, so sad. You did this thing. This happened. I want to get a third neutral party out here to document what happened. And I think that, you know, there's a way to do it that's not, you know, coming to fisticuffs, but there it's important. If the other side is acting like they're more important than you when they did something potentially wrong, potentially illegal, certainly negligent, you want to get somebody out there to document what's going on.
Right. And this is important because, like I said, I've had people deny they were even in the accident.
Right.
Let alone how it happened and who caused it. And my client or potential client will be telling me, well, they told me right there that it was their fault. And my only response can say they're not doing it now. They're not saying it's their fault anymore. And right now they're saying it's your fault, or they're saying it was somebody else's fault, a phantom car's fault. They're saying something different now. Now, when they get out of the car and they say, I'm sorry, it's my fault. I was looking at my phone, or I was looking at this, or I was doing something else. And you know, maybe between that time and the time the police show up, they're going to be changing their tune. But at least you have a better chance that you're going to get an accurate representation of what happened at the time of the crash, when you're closer to the crash and people are still in the, what I call, honest mode.
Right. And, you know, if they do, you know, say there are definitely times here in Denver, I've been hearing from folks that, you know, when they call 911 and they ask for police to come out and investigate, you know, they sometimes are said, told, well, we don't know when we can send someone. We'll send it up, but we don't know when they're going to get out there. And it could be 15 minutes. It could be 50 minutes. It could be an hour and a half. And, you know, this is unfortunately the nature of things right now. And we're not a political show. We're not getting into politics, but we do know that there are decreased resources for our law enforcement. I do know that Denver has its own accident investigation division. They send these little, you know, kind of mini vans out to investigate a scene that can still document the scene, that can still generate a crash report. And so even if the police themselves can't come out, somebody's coming from the police to document what's going on. And what can happen is that then when the statements are taken from each individual, even if a significant amount of time has passed and somebody's story has changed, you know, you heard what you heard. And you can tell that investigator, well, they said right afterwards this. And you can get that then documented for that crash report. And so that helps you in the long run when they stick to their new story later on where they were not at fault and they are a cherub or an angel of the roadways and don't do any wrong.
And you know, that goes with witnesses, please, witnesses. If you see a crash, if you see something happen, even if you don't have time to stop, if you're in a hurry or you have to go somewhere, you have an appointment or you have a deadline or something has to happen, you can't be afraid. And you need to be willing to at least give your name and address to somebody and say, hey, I saw the crash. Here's my name and address so you can contact me. Best if you give it to both sides.
Absolutely.
And you know, in this day and age when people have business cards, give a business card to both sides. Give that information to both sides and give them a chance to be able to identify where the witnesses are and who might be able to give clarity as to what happened in the crash. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Dana Miller in the studio. Today we're talking about the importance of documenting evidence after a car accident. We've talked about documenting it through police officers, through professionals coming out and handling the case. We've also talked about, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what you need to do when it comes to if you can't get them out there or in the meantime while you're waiting for them to get there. And Dana, a lot of times witnesses are important.
Witnesses are great. I told my paralegal I would do a little bit for you, Brad, but it was supposed to be coming off of a break directly where I just said, Brad, can I get a witness? So anyway, just a little throwback there. But yeah, witnesses are hugely important. I have a case right now where multiple people stopped at a crash in a bad weather event. the bad weather may or may not have been a big component of what caused the crash. Also driver inexperience, also maybe speeds and things like that. I don't think so much distracted driving, but two people stopped at this, the site of this collision up in Thornton, and neither had their information taken from either of the parties. And not only that, the police were called. They did the right thing. They both parties called the police. And our client was told that the police were on an accident alert and wouldn't be able to respond at all. So to exchange information and go on your merry way. And the other driver, for all intents and purposes, who we're calling the at-fault driver, she was initially told the police were going to be sent out, then got a call back saying, nope, we're on accident alert. There's nobody going to come. File a report online and exchange information. They asked questions about whether the vehicles were disabled or not, and our client's vehicle was disabled, so a tow truck was sent out. And coincidentally, an officer did drive by, but no report was made. So that's an instance where having that contact information of those other two not involved witnesses would be really helpful to corroborate different aspects of the story, to either give credit or merit to the claims or defenses in the case. And now we're in litigation in this case because, you know, the party was changing their story late in the game, despite recorded statements admitting fault.
And that's the thing. You've got your phone. Turn it on. You've got a chance to take recorded statements. Turn them on. Get the recorded statements. If the other side gets upset, don't take it to a point where there's going to be violence. But sometimes that happens, and you need to turn it on. We used to, and we still have, little packets that you can call us and get them from us at our office, 303-795-5900, or send a request for one at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com that identify what to do in case of a crash. You probably might put that on your phone so you know what to do. For those of you who have young adults or teenagers driving, probably be a good idea for you to have that be one of the ones that they can get to right away, an app so that they know what to do in the event of a crash.
Let me tell you, Brad, I can't reinforce enough. God bless these kids. They've got a lot that they've got to overcome, and they've got a lot that they're going to have to fix in this world. But the thing that they say all the time, well, nobody told me. Nobody told me. Nobody told me. So nobody told them what to do in a car crash. This little packet tells them what to do, what information to get. They're going to be there with their phones. They're going to take the pictures. They're going to know to do that because they document everything nowadays. But they don't know what information to get or what questions to ask. And reviewing that packet with these young drivers will give them a leg up when ultimately they, it might not be when they're a teenager. It might not be when they're a dependent in your household, but God forbid, most people who drive at some point in their driving lifetime will be involved, either the cause of or the victim of an automobile accident. It's just probability.
So contact our office, ask for them. We'll send them to you free of charge. No, we won't take down your name and remember that you got one and try and bug you for promotions later on. We're just going to send you the little envelope you can put in your glove box, or you can put in your little place wherever you keep papers in your car that help. And you can get, we can send you a number of them. So if you want to use them for your adult drivers in the house or your young adult drivers in the house, that's fine too. But what we're talking about is understanding that even if you don't think anyone is hurt, you don't know, because there's so much that happens on a delayed injury type situation where you thought you were fine, you didn't think there was anything wrong, and you wake up one morning and you're not feeling well and you realize it's from the crash.
Absolutely.
Also, it can help just getting your car paid for. The insurance company is not going to pay for the damage to the car unless you were not at fault. If you caused the crash, they're not paying for it. Now, you know, and they're not paying for the injuries. Now, you know, in work comp, they don't care about fault.
Not as much, but there are duties. You have to be in the course and scope of your job at the time. But when you're talking about a car accident, though, Brad, yeah, it doesn't matter. If you're driving a car for work or a van or a truck or something like that, and somebody else hits you, they're not going to do a full-scale investigation for the purposes of covering your injuries under workers' compensation. They're going to say, was this person in the course and scope of their job? Potentially, were they doing something that they shouldn't have been that would undermine or, you know, or invalidate, you know, were they doing drugs? Were they drinking? Things like that, that could, you know, undermine the overall safety. Were they committing a safety violation that would prevent compensation or coverage under workers' comp? But for the most part, if you're a delivery driver, you're driving a truck, you get involved in a car accident, whether it's your fault or your own or the other parties, the workers' comp isn't going to ask those questions. They ask those questions as it relates to other things, but not in terms of whether you are covered as an injured worker on the job.
But that only counts if you're on the job. If you're not on the job, then you need to get this information. You need to be able to know who your witnesses are. You need to know whether or not you need to be able to reconstruct the accident. If you can get a police officer out there, get a police officer out there. You need to understand who gets the citations and the and who did what was wrong, and where you're going to get the accounts of how the crash happened. A lot of times it's very important to look around, just get an idea of where you're at to see whether or not you think there's cameras anywhere. Cameras can be on buildings. They can be on establishments. They can be in businesses that happen to see what's going on at that intersection or happen to see what's going on the street. There can be cameras that are on the street lights. Mm-hmm. That talk about the fact that you've got and you want to get those. Those are not saved forever, folks. And again, a reason you want to get a hold of your attorney.
Great example of a witness who was incredibly helpful in a case that I had a couple of years ago. Another driver on the road had a dash cam running and showed a driver adjacent to him running a red light and colliding with my clients.
There you go. And that's the kind of stuff you need to have. You need to understand what's going on, and you need to understand where you can get the evidence. And how can you best do that? You can best do that by calling Bell and Pollock. But don't call us at the crash. At that point, what you want to be doing is making sure everybody's safe and getting everything taken care of.
And documenting.
And
taking
documenting.
Your pictures. And take all the pictures.
But when you get home, call us 303-795-5900 or get us on the internet, bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com, so we can make sure you're properly structured to get what you're entitled to as far as your recovery. You've been listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Dana Miller in studio today. We're going to be back next week to talk about another topic. In the meantime, I hope you all stay safe.
Have a great weekend. Things in life like when and where.